Lord God, we thank you for the giftings, the calling, and the anointing on this young woman, again, a woman of God, who we see your favor all over her life. And I see her heart deeply in love with you, so we thank you for her. And Lord, I totally trust her this morning to bring your word with truth and with power. And thank you for it in advance. And Lord, help us to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Enjoy the Bible reading. Look it up on your phone if you've got your phones with you, or use a hard copy if you want to be old school. Thank you.
Oh, I get a mic. Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know full well that my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, whereon I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Thank you, Kate. Clap for Kate. I couldn't think of a better person to ask to read that this morning because I have a lot of love for Kate, and that passage is about love. So thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Hi.
How is everyone? Can I just say it is so wonderful to see like a room that is full. As much as I have loved having two services over the past month, I love that I can look everywhere and see a whole bunch of people that I love. So thank you for coming this morning. It's just so good to be here. This morning we're going to talk about love. Can a couple of people give me some examples of things that they love? Aw, coffee, family, what else? Coke, the legal kind. What else? What else do we love? Jesus. Now, as a passionate Jesus follower and lover, when I'm asked that question, what do I love? I feel convicted to say, firstly, Jesus. But to be completely honest with you, probably up next on that list would probably have to be chicken nuggets. No, I'm serious. Have you ever had them? They are fantastic. I'm serious. I even gave up being a vegetarian for a nugget once. It's very good. I'm sorry if you feel offended. You just don't feel that hole that nuggets do in my heart. I'm sorry, Caleb, but you're below them. Think of it this way. You're in the top three. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. Okay. Focus. Okay. This morning, we're not going to talk about the things that we love, whether it be chicken nuggets, Jesus, or legalized Coke. We're going to learn about how much we are loved, specifically by Jesus. We're also going to unpack whether we're receiving that love, and we're going to consider whether or not we're loving ourselves. Does anybody struggle to love themselves sometimes? Me too. This morning, I want to encourage you to open your Bibles, if you have them, or your Bible app. And Kate read out Psalm 139, and that is what the message is coming from this morning. The first point this morning is that I think the words are going to... Oh, look at you go, Adam. They're up there. The first point this morning is that God... The first point this morning is that God knows everything about you. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 3 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Now, according to the world odometer, who knew that was a thing, there is approximately 7.8 billion people in the entire world. 7.8. And with all of those people that exist in this world, God knows you personally, and he knows every single detail about your life. Now, there's probably only about 100 people in here, and I want you to think about that and compare it to the rest of the world. It seems like there's a lot of people in here, but there's 7.8 billion people in the entire world. I don't even know what that looks like, but I know it's a lot of people. And this morning, I felt it on my heart to encourage us to think about, even with all of those people in the world, God knows you. He doesn't just know your name. He knows every single detail about your life. That is how valuable you are to him, and that is how important you are to him, because you are so loved by him. Now, to put this into perspective, I want you to think about whether there is anyone in your life that knows absolutely everything about you, every single detail. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of anybody with that type of capability, because that is supernatural. Can I get a volunteer? Gavin, come on up. Come on. Gavin! Now, just to illustrate this point, you have a very simple task. Are you ready? Very simple. Did you eat your weight picks this morning? Are you ready? You feel strong? All right. It's a very simple task. All I want you to do is tell me what I'm thinking right now. Now I have to change it. What am I thinking about right now, Gavin?
You're thinking about flowers.
It was nuggets, but thank you, Gavin. Now, it's not that easy, right? It's not that easy. If you ask someone, what am I thinking about? It's pretty hard to guess, because the average person has about 6,000 thoughts a day. Women are probably triple, but I need to stop saying offensive things. When I'm nervous, I say offensive things, I'm sorry. With every single one of those thoughts that we have each day, your Heavenly Father is concerned with every single one of them. 6,000 thoughts a day on average. Some days we can think more thoughts. And you know what? We are so loved that God knows every single one of them. It says it in this verse. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. He knows every single detail about our life. That is how much we are loved by him. Now, I think it's important to mention this morning that God knows everything about us, but that means he knows even the bad. He's familiar with all our ways. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some things that I do and there are some things I say that I wish God did not see sometimes. Anyone else in that same position? Not all of the things that I do are good. And sometimes I find myself trying to hide the sin in my life from God because I'm ashamed and embarrassed, which is funny because he knows our thoughts from afar and we can't hide anything from him. But that's what we do, isn't it? When we do something bad, we get embarrassed and we get ashamed. We maybe don't pray for a couple of times and just kind of sweep under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen. But this verse says that he knows everything about us, even the bad. And the second point this morning is that God loves us enough to pursue us. God doesn't just know the good details about our life and all the godly choices that we make. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you know what? He still died on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. And he still loves us regardless of all the ugly in our life. This morning, I believe God wants us to know that even though we make mistakes, He pursues us anyway. God loves us enough to pursue us, even though He knows all the bad in our life. He chases after our hearts and our lives. Now we're heading into the Christmas season. Who loves Christmas? I love Christmas. It's my favorite season. Only 12 days. And not me. This week, I've been encouraged to think about the fact that God knew that we would sin. He knew that we would mess up. He knew that we would make mistakes. And He still sent His Son Jesus onto this earth to have a personal relationship with us. Now, I want us to think about that for a second. He knew that we would sin, and He still sent His Son Jesus to die for us because that is how much He loves us. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I try my best to flee from God's love when it comes to the sin in my life. And sometimes I can be filled with so much guilt and shame. Has anyone else felt like that before? Three people, yeah. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand would hold me fast." This verse says that there is nowhere we can go where God won't pursue us. In this passage, it is as if David, who is a psalmist, is trying to flee from the love of God, but everywhere he goes, he cannot escape the love and the presence of God. And this same truth applies to us in our lives today. Just as David gave the scenario of the far end of the sea, we can be so far away from God, and He would still pursue us anyway because that is how great His love for us is. This morning, I feel that some people need to hear that love and grace are freely on offer. And loving ourselves and letting go of the shame of our decisions is just as important as receiving love from God. Everyone's so quiet today. I'm not used to everyone being so quiet. Because being a forgiven person but still walking in shame is like a bird sitting in a cage who's been given a key, but they're still sitting in it because they don't know that they have freedom on offer. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of sitting in a cage of shame and fear when I've been given a key, and that key is Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross for you and me 2,000 years ago, He gave us that key. But it's up to us to physically walk out of that cage sometimes. And it can be hard, and I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, but the cage feels safe. But there's a whole world out there waiting for us of freedom and love and joy. We just have to walk out of that cage sometimes. This morning, I believe God would like us to consider whether there's any shame or guilt that is keeping us trapped by chains unnecessarily and stopping us from receiving love from God and ourselves. God loves us enough to pursue us, even though He knows everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The third point this morning is that we were created wonderful. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 14 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." This morning, I believe God wants us to know that we are not a mistake. We are not a mishap or a complication. Every single part of us was made by God, and every single part of us was meant to be. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always see myself in that view. When I wake up in the morning and I have bad breath and my hair looks like it's endured a hurricane, I don't look at myself in the mirror and say, "You are fearfully and wonderfully created by God." But on a serious note, I've always been someone that has struggled with self-esteem regarding the way that I look. Now, I may come off as confident and bubbly, but so many people don't know the conversations I have with myself inside my head. Does anyone else have that conversation? I have so many negative conversations with myself inside my head, so much negative self-talk that I am sick of. When I wake up in the morning, regardless of how my hair looks, I want to stand up and look at the mirror and say, thank you, Jesus, for creating me this way, because that is what he wants. We are not a mistake. We are not a mishap. We are not a complication. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can everyone say, we are fearfully and wonderfully made? With enthusiasm, please. Thank you. Felt like there was no one in here for a little while. Come on. There is not one part of your body that was made accidentally. Every single part of you is wonderful. Now, I'm struggling to see you because the light's so bright, but I'm picturing it in my mind. You all look wonderful. We live in a time where it's so easy for us to be constantly comparing ourselves to those that are around us and becoming dissatisfied with the way that we look, especially when it comes to body shaming. This morning, I believe God is calling his children to see themselves the way that he sees them, which is wonderful. The final point this morning is that we should value God's thoughts as precious. Psalm 139, verse 17 to 17 says, verse 17 to 18 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This morning we've learned about God's great love for us and how we are wonderfully created. That is what God thinks of us. Now in this psalm, David encourages us to consider God's thoughts as precious. Now, for those who don't know what precious means, it means of great value, not to be wasted. Of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. God's thoughts about us should not be treated carelessly. We should hold them as high regard. If we value God's thoughts, that means we should align our thoughts with his thoughts. That means we need to start thinking and talking to ourselves the way that God thinks about us. That means we need to get rid of that negative talk. I don't know about you, but I haven't always thought of myself the way that God thinks of me. But I'm on a journey of healing, and I'm on a journey of trying to realign my thoughts with God's thoughts. And it's hard, and it takes a lot of time. I believe in today's time, it's more common for us to think negative thoughts about ourselves rather than positive ones. Sometimes it feels like we can be constantly condemning ourselves rather than having love and grace for ourselves. But that is not the way it should be. To put it into perspective, would you be as hard on others as you are to yourself? That wasn't rhetorical. Would you be as hard on others as you are to yourself? No. We need to have as much grace and love for ourselves as we do to those around us. I know I'm not sometimes. I'm my worst critic. And the way that we can think and talk to ourselves can play a major role in our mental health, self-esteem, and well-being. I believe God wants to transform some people's minds today to come into agreement with his thoughts about us. I believe God would like us to be more intentional about our self-talk and about our self-love. I believe we need to move towards being more loving and gracious to ourselves rather than critical and shame-filled. This morning, I believe God wants each and every one of you to know that you are loved greatly. You are loved greatly. He personally knows and cares about every single detail of your life. And even with all the bad stuff, he pursues you anyway. That is how much you are loved. You are wonderfully created and you are not a mistake. That is what God thinks of you. And that is what we should think of us too. This morning, if you sometimes struggle to remember how much God loves you, I've printed out some Bible verses to remind you that even with the 7.8 billion people in this entire world, God knows every single detail about your life and he loves and knows you personally. And this morning, if you see yourself as, if you struggle to see yourself as wonderfully created by God, I want you to think about the last time you truly complimented yourself. When was the last time you gave yourself a compliment and actually believed it? When was the last time someone complimented you and you didn't say, oh, nah, instead of just said, thank you? I encourage you, as the band come up, if this relates to you, I encourage you to get one of the post-it notes that I accidentally left in my bag, and we'll get it in a second. I encourage you to come up the front and use the hand sanitizer first, because we don't want no Rona here. I encourage you to get a sticky note and pray about it and ask God to put a compliment on your heart to write to yourself, oh, thank you, Caleb. This is why I date you.
It's better than nuggets.
Yeah. I encourage you to write a compliment to yourself, but not just write it and put it in your bag and forget about it. I encourage you to put it on your mirror so that every morning you can see it and remember that you are loved. And finally, if you're like me and struggle holding on to unnecessary shame about things that we do, I encourage you to come up the front and grab a key that I've printed out to remind you that Jesus is the key that God has given us to set us free. So I encourage you to come forward if you feel led, only if you feel led. There's no pressure. And if you like prayer this morning, someone can come and pray with you as well. But in this space, I just encourage you to just focus on you, your heart, and God, and reflect on how much you are loved. I would like to leave you with a quote by Donald M. Williams, who is a well-known author of many theological books. He said, "Once we are known by God, we cannot flee his presence. He is everywhere, and he will personally pursue us wherever we go. We will run into him at every turn. We cannot escape him in the darkness, even the darkness of our own souls. He is a jealous lover, and his love will not be denied."